The Politics, Politics, Politics podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/JURY. Support the show. If you're up at $3 a week, you get not one but two extra podcasts each and every single week. It is on Mondays. It is on Fridays. It is a mini version of the show, so you can keep up with all the politics, politics, politics commentary. Also, we got a new newsletter. What do you say you go ahead and sign up? tinyletter.com/JustinRobertYoung will get you five newsletters a week. Comes out around noontime on the East Coast. That's about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast. I'm having a blast with it. We're getting some great traction and some great feedback. So do yourself a favor and go ahead and sign up for it right now. tinyletter.com/JustinRobertYoung. But enough talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing? Politics, 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 politics. Yes, yes. Trouble, 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 trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome. God, finally we have shit to talk about again. If you want a breakdown by breakdown of whether or not we're going to shut down the government, are we going to shut down the government? Where's the budget battle at right now? Who's advanced on the battle for the budget? This isn't your show. I'm not going to do a lot about it. I'm not going to do a lot about. No one ever makes a deal these days about the budget at any time but the last possible second. And they're all posturing and they're all just like, oh, they got their chests out and they're like, I'll never agree with you. And then eventually they agree to not agree for another few months. And eventually, maybe they'll shut down the government, and it'll be a thing, and we'll all pretend like it affects us. And then we'll be, who won? Who won the shutdown? Who lost the shutdown? Here's the only motherfucker who ever lost the shutdown. Bill Clinton needed to fuck Monica Lewinsky again. Or not fuck, sorry. Monica Lewinsky again. That's the only time somebody's lost a shutdown. 20 years ago, by the way. As of yesterday. So whatever, we're not going to talk a lot about that because we actually have fun stuff that we want to talk about. I'm going to give you guys my, my book report on Fire and Fury. We're going to talk about Steve Bannon, no selling the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, and now earning himself a date with Robert Mueller. We're going to talk about Stormy Daniels. Yes, aughts porn legend Stormy Daniels. We're going to talk about Eric Greitens. I don't know if y'all know about Eric Greitens. But first, we're going to start off with something that I'm very excited about. It's a little quick hit just to get us into the... To go ahead and get us into the mood, you know, just a little amuse-bouche, you know, just so we know that this is a politics, politics, politics kind of episode. Wait a minute, what's that noise? Wait, huh? Holy shit, you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, apparently Roger Stone knows that the world's coming down. There's nowhere to hide. And it comes crashing down and it hurts inside. Can hurt, if you hurt my friends, you hurt my pride. I gotta be a man. There is only one real American, according to Roger Stone. He wants Hulk Hogan, a.k.a. Terry Bollea, to run for Senate against the current Florida governor, Rick Scott. That is a 2018 Senate election. This, according to Roger Stone, the muckraker and rabble-rouser. Quote, I am more focused on persuading Hulk Hogan, whose real name is Terry Bollea, to challenge Rick Scott for U.S. Senate. At a minimum, I hope to convince Hogan to body slam Scott at every debate. If the governor is under the impression that his personal responsibility for $1 billion in Medicaid fraud is no longer an issue, he's wrong. Well, let me tell you something, former governor. This is kind of interesting. Roger Stone, of course, one of the biggest Trump supporters, ascendant in political circles since Donald Trump. Since Donald Trump became the leader of the free world, now going after Rick Scott, who was a loyal Trump soldier. Now remember, as much as you might want to laugh at this, number one, that is something that it is amazing that Rick Scott has been able to fucking snake his way around twice in Florida is the fact that he has a hilariously colossal fucking Medicare fraud scandal in his past. But also, you know, Hulk Hogan sitting on a pretty penny worth of money. Remember, he's that motherfucker who put out Gawker out of business. But also, where did he get the money to make that lawsuit work? Peter Thiel. Now, I don't know how much Thiel and the Hulkster are boys, right? I don't know if they are necessarily the political mega powers. But Hulk Hogan, despite the fact that he's got a racial scandal in his past, something that has barred him from being able to participate in the WWE, not exactly a place with the highest standards in terms of personal conduct. So he would have to do a little bit of image rehab to win a statewide race. Also, he would have to prove that he is not a more muscular, tanned version of Roy Moore in terms of being an awful, awful general election candidate. But Hulk Hogan running for Senate, now in play. Oh. Very exciting. I'll just keep playing. Here we go. These are all just covers of the Hulk Hogan theme song. No. Now, making his way to the Senate floor. From Clearwater, Florida, Senator Terry Bollea. Strike It Rich in the chat room says, Rick Scott wasn't directly involved in the Medicare fraud case. His company bought a company that had Medicare issues after the regulations were changed retroactively. I said he had a Medicare scandal in his past. So I don't know enough about it to say that he's definitely a fuckhole. All right. Let's move on from Hulk Hogan. Here's the deal. Eric Greitens Hands up right now, even if you're driving, put one hand on the wheel, one hand up. Hands up, anybody in the chat. Do you know who Eric Greitens is? Do you know who Eric Greitens is? Because I'll tell you, listeners to this show, you're going to know Eric Greitens' name. Guys, this is the kind of shit that we love on this program. Yes. Eric Greitens is the current governor of Missouri. He is an outsider, former Navy SEAL, Republican. Problem is, a little scandal broke his way last week. Apparently, Eric Greitens, before he became governor, had a little bit of a hanky-panky with his hairdresser. Ooh, crap. I should have done this way. JSC315 in the Twitch chat. I should have made you guess. I should have made you guess what the scandal was. Oh, what a dummy I am. Because he says, let me guess, he's a racist or a kid toucher. No, he's not a racist or a kid toucher. He had consensual sex out of wedlock with his hairdresser. I mean, it's not that bad. It's just, come on, man. He's a politician. Apparently, he had consensual sex with his hairdresser. They had a great time sexing each other out of wedlock. They were both married. Sexing each other. He's a plain old philanderer. And then there was one fateful moment in this affair, as retold from the woman to her husband in tears, a tape that eventually made its way to KMOX in Missouri, St. Louis. Then Private Citizen Greitens told the woman, I need you to come down to the basement. I am going to show you how to do a proper pull-up. Okay, sure. Apparently, talking about physical fitness was some part of their personal relationship, she made her way to the basement. Now, again, everything that happens from here on is just what is said on tape by this woman to her then husband. They are now split. What happened then is he tied her up, blindfolded her, and threw the blindfold. Oh, by the way, she's naked. Probably helpful to say. She's naked. Gets tied up, gets a blindfold thrown on her face. She sees the flash of some kind of camera or recording device. And he says to her, if you say anything, I will release this picture and ruin your life. Now, I don't know how exactly this provides you the kind of motivation to have a proper pull-up. But then again, I've never really been good at pull-ups. Maybe I need to get naked and have a future governor take a picture of me to give me the proper motivation to have the form that will give me definition in my biceps, triceps, and back. But this is now a political problem because Greitens has come out and said he is admitting that as a private citizen, he did indeed stray from his marriage. There's been a lot of counseling. lot of prayer within the family, and they have now arrived in a stronger place than they were back then. The problem here is that the woman is not on the record saying anything, and the ex-husband is the one kicking this up. What Governor Greitens has not said that he did, in fact, straight out denies happened, is that he bound her up and blackmailed this woman. So, yes, these are old issues, but number one, I don't know if you guys have read the paper these days. Also, I just use the phrase, read the paper, because I'm 90,000 years old. Let me refresh. I don't know if you guys have read Google Reader. Wait a minute, that's done. I don't know if you guys have read your Tumblr. Still too old. I don't know if you guys have read the Snap stories lately. But there are a lot of old stories that are coming to light. And a lot of people are having to pay the consequences now in their positions of power because of things that they did in the past. Will this eventually do anything to bring down Mr. Greitens? Probably not. But that is until this woman does want to talk, which it doesn't seem like she wants to do. Maybe she's already come to an agreement. But a good lesson, private citizen or no, former Navy SEAL or not, if you are in any kind of relationship, because here's the other side of it. Here's the other explanation that this guy who is now a God-fearing governor of a fairly religious state, what he can't just come out and say is, nah, dog, that's my kink. I like to find, I like to have women go ahead and massage my head under the, in the spa sink. Yeah, and then I like to, you know, consensually come up with terms where we bind each other up. Then we take pictures of each other and then say mean things. And then maybe, sure, it still was secret. It still was out of wedlock. At some point, she goes to her husband. The husband's real pissed off about it. And the husband's like, why did you cheat on me? Why didn't you tell me? And her answer is, oh, he threatened to ruin everything because he took the picture. Good lesson, though. Good lesson. Naked blackmail very rarely pans out positively for somebody. The Reverend Fuck here in the Twitch chat says, honestly, all these things can be found on my FetLife account. That should be the one thing. Oh, my God. What a mic drop moment. Do me a favor. Please check out my FetLife account. All of this has been thoroughly documented. All right, guys. Speaking of one sex scandal, we will bounce. Well, all right. Do we want to do another sex scandal? Do we want to bind up the sex scandals? Yeah, because I guess these other stories kind of go together. Here's some other shit that happened a while ago. Stormy Daniels. Many people understand who Stormy Daniels are. I will explain who Stormy Daniels is to those who don't know or are too ashamed to admit that they do. Why, back in what would be referred to as the golden age of modern pornography, the 90s, when the DVD boom took pornography mainstream, as well as the internet, there were a few megastars. Probably chief first among equals would be Jenna Jameson, right? She'd probably be the number one, the GOAT, the Michael Jordan of handling balls. But right up there would be a porn starlet named Stormy Daniels. Now, apparently, back as the election was running down in 2016, a story amongst various media sources began a swirling. Chief among them, Fox News and Slate. Story went as follows. Back in 2006, right after he had married Melania Trump, Donald Trump engaged in a year-long affair with Stormy Daniels. Everything was consensual. But it was definitely adultery. When Donald Trump eventually wanted to run for president and realized there were some loose ends he probably had to tie up back in his days as a private citizen, he made an agreement to pay Stormy six figures to shut her trap. Well, see, here's the problem. There's one thing a porn star knows how to do. It's get fucked. But if there's a second thing a porn star knows how to do, it's to get paid for it. So, looking at her Gucci, it was getting awfully close to Election Day. And if it was getting awfully close to Election Day, and at that point, nobody really thought that Donald Trump was going to win, then the second he lost, there really wouldn't be much of a reason to pay old Stormy now, would there? So she was starting to get a little nervous. You know, they made this deal and all, and yet she ain't seen the money for it. So, if Donald Trump wouldn't hold up his end of the bargain, something that apparently he didn't do back in the aughts, when he offered, if not said it would be no problem for her to get on the Celebrity Apprentice program, well, then maybe Stormy shouldn't uphold her end of the bargain. Maybe her and her manager should go shake the tree down Journalism Grove and see who wants to get this story. Two outlets apparently came the closest to getting it. Number one, Fox News apparently had on the record from the manager a quote saying, "This happened." Fox News decided not to run it. Slate apparently had Stormy Daniels on the record saying this happened. And then they decided not to run it. So why do we know this? We know this because the Wall Street Journal reported it last week. And apparently the reason why nobody ran with it was because Stormy Daniels all of a sudden stopped talking. The only assumption that you can make from that, and apparently this has been proven at least enough to run in the Wall Street Journal, was that that check came in. I've seen it two ways, $110,000 and $130,000. So Stormy Daniels would not say anything about Donald Trump having the sex with her for a solid year. Apparently sex that involved a three-way with another porn star. The other porn star apparently went on the record with that. Now, I am not here to give any advice to Stormy Daniels. Actually, no. Want to know what? I am here to give some advice to Stormy Daniels. I am here to tell Stormy Daniels, pornographic superstar, you fucked up. You fucked up. Here's why. Stormy Daniels apparently wanted to get into politics. Back in 2006 and 2007, she was thinking about running as a Republican against a sitting Republican senator in her home state of Louisiana. Why did she feel, Cy-Jag, that she could beat a sitting Republican senator in Louisiana? Because he had currently been engulfed in a prostitution scandal. Fun little side note. Now, eventually, she wound up running into some problems herself, and that was that. But that's not why she fucked up. She fucked up because she didn't allow her dreams to flourish. She got the quick payout, $100,000. What she should have done is sat on it. Because now Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And Stormy Daniels, you could have held out for a cabinet post. Come on, imagine that. Would there be anything better to say in politics right now than Secretary of the Interior Stormy Daniels? I mean, listen, she was always a hard worker. Secretary of Energy then. I mean, can't be any worse than Rick Perry, who said he wanted to close the motherfucker down. Stormy Daniels could have been a contender. Hell, man, we got a gigantic 2018 election. People are retiring all over the place. Now's the time. Now's the time that Stormy Daniels should be running. Stormy Daniels should run for office this year. I call upon Stormy Daniels to run for office this year. Hulk Hogan, Stormy Daniels. In fact, Stormy Daniels should have run or should run anywhere she wants. Imagine that endorsement speech, huh? Imagine Trump getting up there. Everybody's chanting like, I build a wall, right? They were doing all the Trump things. I want to introduce you to someone I know really well. Really well. She works well with others. And when she gets to Washington, she won't choke. All right, that's it. All right, enough. Enough of the porn jokes. Enough of the porn jokes. All right, let's get into current events. Current events. Current events. The biggest news that came out of the White House this week, or sorry, yesterday, was that Steve Bannon imagine Senator Stormy Daniels, first senator to congratulate her on her win, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz's intern just, you know, tripping over his shoes trying to meet Stormy Daniels. All right. Steve Bannon. He got called into the House Intelligence Committee. A big question about exactly what he was going to talk about, specifically in terms of the Russia collusion and the fact that he has been excommunicated from Trump world. Once chief strategist, now relegated to lowly Sloppy Steve. Also, as I will detail in my Fire and Fury book review at the end of this segment, he is somebody that very obviously has a burning hatred for Jared and Ivanka. He believes that they, through their own stupidity, are culpable for possible collusion and treason with the Russians. So, what would Steve Bannon say? They apparently questioned him for 10 hours. 10 hours. And he said nothing. Absolutely jack shit. So much so that congressfolk from both sides, representatives from both sides, got pretty pissed off at him. So much so that he immediately earned himself a subpoena to A, be forced to talk about this, and an appointment with Robert Mueller in his investigation. The reason why he was evasive, according to reports this morning, are that he was in communication with the White House. In fact, his lawyer was texting the White House as questions came in, and they were getting yes or no answers on whether or not he should answer the questions from the White House itself. The White House was claiming executive privilege. So let's do what we love to do on this show and play Palace Intrigue. Why would Steve Bannon, whose life was literally reduced to rubble over the last week at the vengeful hands of Donald Trump, why would he carry the water for the former White House that he was a part of? Let's also remember that what happened last week was that Donald Trump made the Mercers, the paymasters to Bannon and Breitbart, choose whether or not Steve Bannon was their man or Trump was their man. They picked the sitting president of the United States. That also led to Steve Bannon being fired from Breitbart. So we're going to make a few assumptions here. According to Steve Bannon, and he will tell anybody who will listen, he was so far away from the Russia thing that he is not worried about it. So I don't know exactly what he would be pardoned for. I do know this, that the only path to salvation lies through Donald Trump's heart. If Bannon ever wants to be at Breitbart again, if Bannon ever wants to be embraced by the Trump coalition again, after he, by all accounts, and specifically this Fire and Fury book, got a little bit too big for his britches, talked a little too much shit about his meal ticket, even did the unthinkable and said, you want to know who would be a good president? Me. The only way you get back to respectability, where he wants to be, where he can wage war against the Republican establishment and the Democrats, is through Donald Trump's good graces. So, unless he's planning on opening up a TGI Fridays in Muskogee, if he wants to stay in the game, He's got to play the White House's tune. To the House. Now, once he gets in front of Robert Mueller, that's a horse of a different color. There's some deniability in what you told or where you led them. If he is still to harbor fantasies of plunging the knife dead into the very delicate boyish back of Jared Kushner, that would be the place to do it. Not the House Intelligence Committee, where anything he says would be leaked to Politico before the happy hour. Which brings us to the Fire and Fury book. This is why the House Intelligence Committee was so pissed off. Because they literally just wanted him to repeat shit that was already attributed to him in this book. So this is my book report. Normally for these kind of campaign books, I do a Campaign Chaos Book Club episode. It's a special episode. It's in the feed. It's a good time. If you want to listen to my reviews of the Donna Brazile book, about the book about the Hillary Clinton campaign, about... did we do another one, or was that just the only two? Oh, the Bannon book, Devil's Bargain. You can read all those, or listen to all those. They're special episodes here in the Politics feed. The Fire and Fury is a little different. Number one, those other books were for political junkies. This became social coup. This became headline news, and it obviously had consequences. Just ask Mr. Bannon. So what do I think? This is the biggest question that I have gotten. How much of this is true? Michael Wolff isn't exactly what you would refer to as a meticulous reporter. David Halberstam, he is not. Bob Woodward, he is not. But I will tell you what Michael Wolff really is. A storyteller of the highest order for New York media. So it should really be no surprise that the best parts of this book are the roadmap for which it lays out on who hates who and who leaks to who. We find out exactly who Bannon leaks to. We find out exactly who Jared Kushner leaks to. We find out exactly who Hope Hicks leaks to, or who they try to curry favor with, at the very least. Spoiler alert. Bannon obviously goes to Breitbart. Jared and Ivanka go to Morning Joe. And Hope Hicks goes to Maggie Haberman of the New York Times. What happens in this book is not necessarily truth, but it is almost certainly the truth that reporters in D.C. believe. Because Michael Wolff was talking to the same people that were leaking to these reporters. So when is the book at its worst? I'll tell you. The book is at its worst when it pretends to be in the room. There are a lot of times where, you know, specifically with Trump and Hope Hicks, it does a lot of kind of back and forth and this is what they thought in the moment kind of shit. In general, I always hate that about bios in general, but I specifically hate it when it's obvious that they don't have a first-person source in the room. And he didn't hear. So that's where you get just some wild shit. Like Trump saying just absolutely kookaburra bananas kind of stuff. Apparently in one conversation with Hope Hicks, he made her scurry out of the room. Because I didn't know this. Hope Hicks was dating Corey Lewandowski. Which also kind of explains why Lewandowski stayed around so long when he fucking goon-handed a Breitbart reporter and couldn't make that one go away by himself. But apparently Trump said to Hope Hicks, why are you worrying about his future? You're the best piece of ass he ever had. This from somebody who, according to all indications, Hope Hicks is thought of as the real daughter of the Trump White House, with Ivanka being thought of as the first wife. Again, this is a bunch of crazy shit where it's like, God knows who says it. God knows who believes it. You know, it reads well. This is easily the easiest to read of all these campaign books, all these White House books. But that's where, to me, it's at its worst. Now, you can also tell the fact that Michael Wolff is kind of infatuated with Steve Bannon. A lot of the first-person narrative kind of flows through Bannon. The book ultimately ends basically when Bannon leaves the White House. The book actually ends with Bannon outside of the Breitbart embassy musing about whether or not he should run for president. The book, therefore, thinks that Jared and Ivanka are very dumb. Because Bannon thinks they're very dumb. In fact, he refers to them as the geniuses. Because all of their brilliant plans turn out so brilliantly. Up to and including the mooch. But here's the biggest thing that I learned from this book. And something that isn't referred to explicitly, but I wanted to bring up to your guys' attention. This book, I think, very clearly illustrates something called founder syndrome. Founder syndrome is something that is very a very popular topic out here in the Bay, where you have a lot of tech startups where it starts out with one, maybe two, three people, and then immediately balloons into a gigantic company because that's what happens out here. So you hear a lot about, you know, maybe the guy who came up with the idea is not the guy to make it go forever. But I want to read to you the Wikipedia definition of founder syndrome. And in fact, I'm just going to read them to you. And I want you, both in your head and here in the chat, to say which one of these you, by your, you know, just watching things unfold, you think applies to the Trump organization and therefore the Trump White House. The organization is strongly identified with the founder. All right. I think there's enough golden Trump lettering on stuff to understand that. That's a freebie. We got one down. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven of these to go. Here we go. The founder makes all decisions, big and small, without formal process or input from others. Decisions are made in crisis mode with little forward planning. Number three, key staff and board members are typically selected by the founder and are often friends and colleagues of the founder. The role is to support the founder rather than lead the mission. Professionally trained and talented recruits, often recruited to resolve difficulties in the organization, find that they are not able to contribute in an effective and professional way. Go ahead and Google Katie Walsh. The founder responds, this is number five, the founder responds to increasingly challenging issues by accentuating the above, leading to further difficulties. Anyone who challenges this cycle will be treated as a disruptive influence and will be ignored, ridiculed, or removed. The working environment will be increasingly difficult with decreasing public trust. The organization becomes increasingly reactive rather than proactive. Alternatively, the founder of the board may recognize the issue and take effective action to move beyond it as outlined below. Here's one. The founder begins to believe his own press and PR. And finally, number 7, a founder becomes increasingly paranoid as delegation is required and or business management needs are greater than training or expertise. So of that 7, how many do you think apply to the Trump White House? Now, somebody who is suffering founder syndrome does not necessarily make them ineffective. But it certainly makes them suffering founder syndrome. All right. Let's go ahead and clear our heads. Clear our heads. Clear our heads. Because we got something coming up. We got something coming up in a couple months that we ain't had in a little bit. Oh, you know that there is nothing that I like better than to get out of this dumb election or this dumb governing stuff and get into the real meat. Yeah, the reason why we do this show. The reason why we do this show, and that's gonna happen, baby. March 15th, special election, Pennsylvania's 18th congressional district. That is in the western Pennsylvania, one part of Pittsburgh, and the rest in the suburbs area. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a poll. And you know what that means here on this show. We like to give you guys the statistical data in the best way that we know how. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I would like to introduce to you this 18th Congressional Special Election District version of the poll! Dance. This is a Gravis poll from January 3rd to the 5th, a sample of 513 likely voters, a 4.3% margin of error. Coming up first to the stage with 34% of the vote, let's get a big round of applause for the Democrat, Connor Lamb. But your headliner, with 46% of the vote, he is the Republican, Rick Sacco. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, in a wave election, Rick Sacco, the Republican, with a 12 point spread. Let's go ahead and get into but your emails. You can go ahead and contact the show at theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Again, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. First email from Ken. Ken, in your newsletter, you pose the question, it's not if 2020 is going to be affected by Me Too, it is how much it will. Well, here's how you kill Me Too by 2020 or any other social hashtag campaign for that matter. You simply fill it in with extreme fanaticism on both ends of the spectrum. A few false accusations and watch all the hashtag not all men's get up in arms. This will, of course, be countered by an equal and opposite hashtag male tears reaction, and before you know it, there'll be nothing but crazy people yelling at each other. I can see the cracks in the Me Too campaign forming now with the recent he said, she said allegations against Aziz Ansari. There's no way that this movement survives until 2020. That's like 30 years away in modern news cycle years. Listen, man, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you, Ken. Because I think if Me Too was burned to the ground tomorrow, it would still affect 2020. We are past the point where it will have no effect. Now, will it be the same as it is right now? No, you're absolutely right about that. And I think part of it is going to be us debating more fine line stuff. And not to say that the Aziz Ansari stuff isn't sexual assault. It's the Aziz Ansari stuff, and I've talked about it a bunch on a bunch of different shows, but the Aziz Ansari stuff, I think, is probably more instructive in that it's commonplace behavior that needs to be understood or reconciled between two different ways of thinking. But I think that the fact that we're still talking about the Me Too stuff, and we haven't out and out just got a lie yet, I think that means we've got more to go with this. Not to mention what happens when something happens in the moment. So here's the other thing about the Aziz Ansari stuff that you are missing at your peril if you don't realize this, is this wasn't some shit that Aziz did in college. This wasn't some shit that Aziz did before he got his big break. This is some shit Aziz did months ago. Very recently. So now, what happens when Me Too isn't some shit that was, but some shit that happened last night? Roy writes, just caught up with the latest PX3 and I was surprised not to hear you talk about this latest gem of a story. Apparently, Benjamin Netanyahu's son, the Prime Minister of Israel, is a major asshole. Netanyahu's asshole of a spawn is a constant source of news. He's Eric Trump on steroids. Also, you could definitely record a whole trilogy on stories with Mrs. Netanyahu. If you don't follow Israeli politics, now is the time to start doing it. Well, you want to know what? I'm nothing if not coachable. So here we go. This is the story. Netanyahu says strip club recording of his son is a media shaming plot. This is from NPR. In the summer of 2015, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's son partied with friends at a Tel Aviv strip club. What happened next is creating a political embarrassment for the prime minister, who's also facing a criminal investigation into suspected corruption. In secretly recorded audio, the leader's son, Yair Netanyahu, then 24, is heard talking to friends who bragged about the cash they spent on lap dances. Netanyahu talked about offering up his ex-girlfriend to his friends for sex. He spoke about money owed for a prostitute, asking for cash. He told one friend that the prime minister had lobbied for a gas deal that benefited his friend's business, businessman's father, a shareholder in an Israeli offshore gas field. Bro. Oh, my God, this is great. Bro, my dad got your dad a sweet deal. Oh, this kid's my favorite already. The recording aired Monday on Israeli television's Channel 2 News, which reported that the conversation took place while Netanyahu was with two friends and his bodyguard inside a government-provided car. The channel reported that the official driver surreptitiously made the recording. Bro, my dad got your dad a sweet deal. That's great. That's amazing. I mean, I don't think there's much question of whether or not it's true or not, right? You know, they got the motherfucker on tape. Thank you so much, Roy. We will definitely put more Yair Netanyahu on our radar. Sean writes, ooh, boy, I get to live in a scandal state. Missouri governor admits to affair but denies binding his side piece so he could take pictures of her naked as blackmail, was how I titled that Greitens story in my newsletter. It was really interesting to find out that the alleged picture was only made illegal relatively recently. Some guy took a video and pictures at his tanning salon of minors who tan naked. They couldn't get him on the pictures, but he was found guilty on related sex with minor type claims. I wonder if the entire story can help McCaskill, one of the most vulnerable Democratic senators. I keep getting confused that Kander lost to Blunt and Koster lost to Greitens and Kane to Pence. Hopefully, the Democrats can use this to get more people to go into the voting booths on a present day and push the button for McCaskill. Could be an interesting pole dance if polls were available. I'm not going to pretend like I knew everything that you said there. Kind of sounded like the first few pages of the Bible, but I got you. I got you. And I got you, the listeners to this show. Thank you so much for being a part of independent political media. Yes, independent political media. It only exists because of you, and here are the ways where you can support it. Number one, if you want to go ahead and get on the Patreon train, you can do that. If you love this show and you want to get extra heaping helpings of it on Monday and Friday, then go ahead to patreon.com/JURY. If you are at a $3 level, you get both of those. You don't got to do shit, by the way. You get those episodes in a little RSS feed. It gets spun up for you automatically on Patreon. Enter that into your iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, and you get that right in your life. Now, I know times are tough. Times are tight for a lot of people. However, if you have Amazon Prime, you can give me money through Twitch and you don't do shit about it. Here's how it works. If you have Amazon Prime, go to twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. There you can subscribe with Prime and you get that for free. In fact, if you don't use it, you lose it, like your virginity. So go ahead on over there right now, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. If you have Prime, you don't have to watch me on Twitch. You don't have to do anything. Just each month, if you can remember it, and I'll try to remind you, you go ahead and just give me free money right out of Jeff Bezos's pocket. And if you don't got Prime, you don't got no money, here's what I would ask you to do. Go sign up for my new newsletter. That is tinyletter.com/JustinRobertYoung. That is where you're just going to get a free newsletter 5 days a week. And periodically, I'm going to throw some hot deals in your face for stickers or the contender, my card game. But it just provides me another way that I can talk to you guys more often than once a week in audio format. And that pretty much ends my pitch on how you can support independent political media. Politics, 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 politics. Of course, you can always email me, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. You can follow me at Justin R. Young everywhere, and you can download archived episodes of this show at bonerwars.com. Ladies and gentlemen, some shows talk about politics. Others talk about politics. Still more, man, they try to talk about politics. This is the only show that talks about all motherfucking three. I will see you guys next week.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.